Blog Talk Radio.
They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. Glorious and victorious day it is, another day that the Lord hath made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it, for it was him that hath made us, and not we ourselves, and in him we live, we move, and we have the epitome, the ability of our being. For he is the life that is more abundant. He is the peace that passes all understanding, that rules our minds and our hearts. He is that wonderful, that counselor, that almighty God, that Prince of Peace, and truly the everlasting Father. And as the songwriter said, what a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arm. And when you lean upon the arm of the Lord, he takes all things in his hand. So I'm here to tell you, and Radio Landers, we're here to deliver, heard on all six continents around the world with the largest listening audience on the Blog Talk Network. We are, because we tell it like it is, the way it is and how it is, from the biblical perspective as it relates to modern-day life. That's right, and we're here with you on Sunday, the 18th of January, the year 2015, a wonderful year, a year of triumph, a year of glory, a year of wonderful new beginnings. So let me tell you something. This year thus far has been an extraordinary and just a miraculous year for me. And let me tell you something, not boasting in myself, but boasting in the greatness of God. So many things have just happened, so favorable, so wonderful in my life. And I just want to share those wonderful tidings within my being that has experienced itself, has made manifold. And when I say manifold, manifested and multiplied. So when you hear me use that terminology, manifold, it is a manifestation that has multiplied exceedingly in my life, the happiest I've ever been in my life. Let me tell you something. People oftentimes look at you and they may judge you and say, you know something? You just seem to have it all together. But let me tell you, none of us are without struggle. You don't just gain the momentum of greatness, of wonderful things happening in your life and prosperity without emancipating a struggle. That's right. We've all had to ascend and climb those jagged peaks of those mountains. But when we reach the top, we know, as I know, and I want to share with you, it is a glorious vision that you encompass. And I'll tell you something. God is not slack concerning his promises. That's right. God will never give you something and take it back. He will never promise you something and not stand and deliver. So when God speaks the word of knowledge to you in a way of divine personal revelation, know that it is signed by him, sealed by his promise, and delivered through the blood of Jesus Christ. And that's where we ascertain our victory. And Isaiah Messiah told us, behold, I am the victory that overcometh the world and even your faith. That's right. And the instrument of faith is one of the most vital mechanisms in your spiritual life. Why? Faith is the very essence of who you are. It defines your character. It motivates your actions as well as corresponds with your reaction. That's right. And in doing so, you begin to gain the momentum of a greater dexterity or degree of understanding that you have purpose in life. I don't know who I'm talking to out there in radio land, but you have purpose in your life. And it's time that you got out of the box that you're in, that box that seems to hold you captive. It seems to overshadow you, overtake you. You attempt to do what is right, and evil always becomes present and prevalent. You attempt to climb up but something comes along and knocks you back down. You're destined to make changes, much needed changes in your life. But what happens? They never take place because you get discouraged. And that's a spirit. That's a spirit of discouragement and despondency upon you. That's holding you captive. You just said, I give up. Don't give up. Cast not away your confidence. Listen now. Listen. Cast not away your confidence, for it hath great recompense of reward. And here is one of the recipients of the reward system speaking to you. That's right. Don't just look at me as a motivational speaker. Don't just look at me as an intuitive teacher and educator. Don't just regard me as a very familiarized public personality that you're comfortable with. Know that behind all of the accolades, I am a real individual. I'm a real person that has had to fight those battles in times past. But let me tell you something. The battle is not yours. And this is what I've learned. I just want to share with you very briefly in the way of a personal revelation to someone who's listening in the radio land out there. The battle is not yours. The battle is the Lord's. But God wants your full focus and your full attention so that he can rearrange some things within you that need to be changed. That's right. You can't go around blaming other people for your failures. You can't go around talking about what happened in the past. The only way you should look back on the past is to recollect the lessons that you've learned. You can't walk around harboring bitterness. Somebody out there in listening radio land, you've been harboring bitterness in your heart. You've been harboring unforgiveness in your spirit. There's a heaviness that comes with unforgiveness because you know what happens? When you walk around, and just listen to me, take away all of the titles and the acclimates and just listen to me as a real, true person. When you live in disharmony, when you live in malice, when you live in hatred, when you live in unforgiveness, you are taking slow but lethal poison at your own expense, and you are ingesting what you ingest. Listen to me. You are digesting. It becomes part of your psyche. It becomes part of your being. And you ingest so much of it, you begin to spit out venom. You begin to excrement venom. Venom is a very toxic and deadly substance. You know why? It can cause blindness, neuropathological disharmony or dysfunction. It can cause cardiovascular arrest or a heart attack. It can cause brain or cerebral aneurysm or full stroke. It can disarm your physical body from functioning. And if your physical body dysfunctions for a certain lateral time, eventually you will die. And so when you walk around with hatred, forgiveness, malice, vengeance, backbiting, disharmony, all of these things, you're ingesting the poison. That poison will, you will become digested. It will become a part of your being. It will destroy everything in your life with catastrophistical proportions. And it will affect others around you. We know that we're human. I never tell people that those feelings or those temptations to yield to those feelings are unnatural because of the dexterity of the proportions of the first Adam, which was the man who fell from a God's amazing grace to a certain level of disgrace. We are entitled to experience those dark feelings from the darker hemisphere of our being. But as you are a Christian, a follower of the truth, you are like a personal physician. You can detect something in your spirit that is not wholesome, that is not beneficial, and you need to confess it Stop treating the symptom before you come down with the disease. Do you get me? Start treating the symptom before you come down with the disease. That's right. Prevention is far better than intervention, because with intervention, it's a timely process. But with prevention, it is a definitive working plan in motion to safeguard you, to strengthen you, to edify you, to build you up upon your most holy faith. So we have to be able to detect and define enemy forces that are at work. Because you know something, as I know it. If you regard iniquity in your heart, and as King David said, if he just reflected upon all the things that Saul had done, he said, God will not hear me. Woe and behold, that message is effervescent in this present day and time. If you, if I, regard iniquity within our hearts, then God will not hear us. So what I want you to do right now, before we get into our teaching segment, is to lift your hands unto the Lord and say, Lord, Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, you've got to go in the name of Jesus Christ, because all of our righteousness is a filthy rag. Say, Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, I ask your forgiveness of anything that I have thought that was evil, anything that I meditated upon that was evil, and even if I was tempted to do evil, I ask that you forgive me and make me whole. Whatever it is, God, that is not like you and reflective of your character, I ask that you create within me a clean heart and renew within me a right spirit. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. And as you speak these words of knowledge and lift your hands unto the Most High God, God will mend you from this moment on. You can't walk this walk and talk this talk and do this do with heaviness shackling you down, because it will destroy you. You'll speak words of faith and greatness in your life, but then you give into that emotion and it will eat that seed. Stop letting the enemy cause you to eat your seed. And thank God for forgiving you, because it's through the blood of Jesus Christ that we are atoned or made at one with God the Father. That's right. So don't eat your seed. When you speak it and ask God's forgiveness, go about knowing that God has heard you, that God has freed you. He has lifted you up out of the epitome of your unthoughtfulness, and out of the epitome of your anger, of your wrath, of your vengeance, and that he has heard you. And the Lord said in his word, you don't have to fight the battle. The battle is mine. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. He said, bless them that curse you. All right. Do good to them. You know, people are underhanded, deceitful, use and abuse you, trying to get over large and in charge to make a fool out of you. Bless them that curse you. Still do good to them. Still speak to them. Greet them. Treat them right. And God says, oh, when you do, I'm going to heave coals of judgment upon them. That means God is going to touch every element of their life, and they're going to reap five times what they sowed, but you'll be going about happy on your way, receiving the very blessings of Abraham. And it doesn't get any better than that. When you get the blessings of Abraham, listen to me, flowing in your life, oh, you're talking about prosperity. I'm a living witness. Things that you touch, God will multiply the manifold. That's right. You'll get out of the attitude, you get into the plenitude. That means that things persistently are coming your way that are of greatness and of goodness, that are of wonderful report, that are of virtue, that are of praise, will come into your life. God is looking for a glorious people. Now, let me tell you something. God does not want a sad, broke down, dysfunctional people that walk around looking any kind of way, acting any kind of way, conducting their mannerism in any kind of way. God wants to present himself with a glorious people. All we have to do is show up, and then he shows out through us. That's why. So when people actually look at you, if they look at me, and if they said this week, what has happened to you? You know, you always look great every time I see you, but you look even greater. But see, the greater is not my doing. The greater is the greatness of God that abides within me, that has given me divine faith. I am a testimony. I'm telling you, it's nothing new that I've done, but it's a new way of my approaching the dynamics of what goes on in my life. And when I govern the affairs of my life, I've done well. Then I can rightfully so have a referendum, the certification from the kingdom of heaven to teach you on what to do and how to do to get the greatness in your life. So it's just a wonderful word of knowledge today. And we're thanking God for you tuning in to receive the greatness of God in your life. And so that this greatness can be multiplied. And I know that there's things going on in the world that are disharmonizing, the things that are very upsetting, and it gets to the very epitome of your being. But let me tell you something. Our Messiah told us that he is the victory that overcometh this world and even our faith. So if he overcomes our faith and we walk in his truth and in his majesty, he will give us glorious and victorious power to lift us up and to bring us to that very level of expectancy and receivership in our lives. Oh, I just love this. Let's go. We're going to the New Testament, the new testimony, the new documentation that has been circumcised as a result of all that has happened. It's like a chain reaction reflective of all the things that have happened in the previous text. That's why, because understand that the old text was the preparational phase. That's why, and was God was setting up the masterful plan to touch the hearts and the very beings of mankind. And the New Testament is the completion of that plan. That's right. And Revelation is the consummation of all things that God structured within the parallels of the terrestrial terrain or the earth, as well as the celestial terrain, which is the heavens. That's right. And so you have to be equipped to know whom it is that you are and what your purpose is, what your assignment. See, your purpose means your assignment. We all have diverse assignments. That's right. My assignment is to instruct and to teach and to develop leadership within the body of Christ and within the educational community. Leadership is not an easy job, and there has to be someone who has the intuitive, the knowledge and the capacity and the wisdom to do the job. And sometimes the job gets a little tedious. Sometimes I want to take a break, but then when I take a break, then God begins to deal with my consciousness. You never get so high and mighty that you don't listen to the voice of God when the Holy Spirit is ministering to you, because revelation comes to us in diverse ways. I'm not talking about the book of Revelation. I'm talking about revelations that God gives us. See, there's circumference or collective revelation in which you're to share with other people in a way that is insightful, that is invoking to the point of deriving them or derivating them to a specific capacity of action. Now, there's also the personal revelation when God is speaking a word just for you at that particular time or that particular hour. So you've got to be tenacious. That's right. You've got to be volatile or, you know, vulnerable to hear that voice. Because remember this, what the Lord said, my sheep hear my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. So you better make sure that you listen to the voice of God. As I know that I've learned to do, the higher up you go, let me tell you something, the higher that God elevates me, the more that I have to listen to his voice, because I'm dealing with circumstances and individuals in which, you know, if you're not equipped at that time, you're not going to be able to rightfully so respond to whatever that situation is. Now, let's go again to the second book of Corinthians, the fifth chapter. Now, know that this is Apostle Paul that's speaking, one of the greatest letter writers of the apostles. That's right. Paul was a man that was very intuitive in the way of giving correspondence to diverse congregations within the geographical areas of that time, which specifically it was Asia Minor, and that he was directly corresponding with the leaders who were in that area. That's right. And so there were specific messages that had to be adhered to and addressed to those populations, because everybody's circumstance was different. Every congregational setting was different. Every leader had their own style. That's right. So God indeed is a God of diversity. And so Apostle Paul knew that. And so when he wrote his letters, he wrote them directly as the Holy Spirit inspired him. That's right. So listen, he says in the first verse, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." What is he saying? Your body, my body, unless we are either Elijah, you know, the prophet of the whirlwind, that's right, or Enoch, neither one of those men saw death. God just Elijah on the wind cloud and took him to heaven. That's right. And Enoch, he was translated. That means God just translated him into spirit matter. He never died. And he took him to glory. Those were the only two men that never saw the face of death, that never had the departure process that we know as making the transition. God merely translated them. That's right. He kept the link, but he translated the dialect. And Apostle Paul says that if we are the comforts to live until that day in which we will depart from the earthly body, we know that God has so equipped us with a spirit body in which we will exist again. That's right. So while we're housing these bodies, we're to take good care of what God has given us. We're to respect the way that we appropriate ourselves day by day. We're to respect the way that we deal with the emotions of the human perspective. We're to be careful in the mannerism of how we conduct our affairs until God gives further notice. The second verse says, "For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is made from heaven." What is he saying? He's saying, in taking all these things under consideration, we're going to take the best care we possibly can of our body until that day we're given that spiritual cloak, that's right, which is going to be the eternal body. That's right, but we're still to regard this body as we would our eternal body. Do not disrespect what you have. "If so being clothed, we shall not desire naked." That means that in so understanding these things, we're not left defenseless. We can't say that we're ignorant of the facts, because you're getting the facts, you're getting the truth of regarding and bringing your body, as I do bring my body under subjection in the mannerism in which I conduct the affairs of my life and of my relationship with others. That's right. And my specific relationship with my significant other. I'm respectful of those things, knowing that God sees all, he knows all, and he judges all. For what? Okay, are you ready for this? "For we know that our in this tabernacle," that means in this physical body with the spirit within. See, right now we're in reverse polarity. We have the spirit of God within us, but we're housed in a fleshly body. Look at the spirit as being a pearl, a priceless pearl of great worth. And the shell, which is the body, is covering that pearl. He says, "But being burdened not that we should be unclothed, but clothed upon the mortality might be swallowed up of life." That means that, again, regarding and respecting the consciousness of the spirit man that abides within, and to stay in persistent and constant fellowship with him so that we may govern wisely over the affairs of our life. That's right, that we're not taken by the affairs of this world. And what happens is that a lot of people become what I refer to as carnal Christians. They get so caught up in the world, what's going on television, what's going on in society, what's going on in the political arena, what's going on Wall Street, and they get just taken, they get distracted, they get despondent, they get discouraged. Why? Because you are anchoring your hopes, your expectations in the world, in public figures, in people, in places, in things, and they have reversed the divine structure, the divine balance that God intended. We're to live from the spirit to the flesh, not from the flesh to the spirit. And this is why people become carnal Christians, why they become so disharmonized, why they walk around with bad attitudes, why they walk around hateful, why they walk around mean, why they walk around speaking ill will against others, why they backstab, why they backbite, why they dig ditches and try to dig up confusion, because they are allowing the negativity of this world to infiltrate them and become a part of their human psyche. And the human psyche, you know, gravitates to the spirit psyche. The spirit man is being pushed out, and the human man is taking over. And that's when you become a carnal Christian. You're acting just like the people out there in the world. And there's a difference in us. We identify problems. Now, let me tell you something. Because I have public speaking engagements, I have to be amongst other people of different walks of life, of different educational levels, of different projections of spirituality. But I have to be anchored so that when I'm in those types of settings, that I don't lose gravity, that they can't infiltrate my mind, so that I am able to withstand these areas. And you have to do the same as well. And listen, now, he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who hath also given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. What are you saying? God has given us the down payment, the remission. You know how oftentimes you want to make a purchase of something that's quite expensive? You know, my friend actually, something that was quite expensive and had to make a down payment. And the first thing that he said was that, my goodness, why should I make a down payment? And the explanation was, in which I gave to him, was the fact that this item is of great price, of great existential value. And if something is of great existential value, you have to present some degree of collateral in order to receive that item. You don't go around giving away canary yellow diamonds. You don't go around giving away flawless emeralds and rambunctious rubies, Burmese rubies. You don't do that. Why? Because these are jewels of the highest echelon of Christ's noteworthiness. They're worth something. So you can't give them away. So what you have to do, even if a person has good credit, they have to put a down payment. Why? That is the security blanket. That is the security measure to provide the fact that you gave something to receive something. So let me tell you this. You don't get something without having to remit or submit something of value. That's right. So this is what Apostle Paul is saying. The remittance is due. Therefore, we are also confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. What are you saying? We know for a fact, it validates the fact, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Yes, we inherit the kingdom of God through Jesus Christ down here, because it's the authoritative measure of his name that causes the angels to come to our defense, that gets God the Father's attention to move on our behalf. We use the authoritative measure of our Lord's name, our Lord Jesus Christ. But outside of that, our bodies cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. So this is the reason why Enoch, that's right, and Elijah were translated, because their flesh, blood, bone, and marrow could not get into the spiritual gates of the kingdom of heaven. Our bodies cannot get into the spiritual gates of the kingdom of heaven. We have to be translated. That's right. That's right. We have to make what they call the transition factor happen. So that's what he's letting us know. And that means we're not face-to-face in his presence. We come to his presence through the authoritative measure of our Lord Jesus Christ. When we speak his name, we have a right to go into him, but we cannot look upon God the Father, okay? And the only way we are able to get into his presence and to his divine favor is through our Lord's name, Jesus Christ. He is our high priest, our mediator between us and God the Father. And oh, I love this verse, the seventh verse. For we walk by faith and not by sight. Oh boy, what does that mean? You do not live, and this is where we talk about the carnal Christian. You do not live in this world according by what you see, by what you smell, by what you taste, by what you touch, and by what you hear. You know why? Because these things can be highly deceptive. That's right. You might smell something, and it doesn't smell. Let's take, for example, you might buy some meat in a grocery store, okay? You said, you know what? I always smell my meat before I buy it. Well, that's a good idea because, you know, we're to use wisdom because while we're in the world, we have to use natural appropriations. God knew that. But just because you open up and smell the meat and the meat smells fresh does not mean that the meat is fresh. That's right. Because sometimes supermarket chains compromise the level of the products that they sell in their store. They sometimes compromise because they don't want to lose money. And what they sometimes will do is wash the meat down with chlorine bleach. Or put gelatin, red gelatin on top of it and make it look like it's still blood in the meat. It's still fresh. But when that meat starts to cook, you can smell the putridness within it. So you have to understand that just because you smelled it does not mean that it's fresh, right? Okay? So just because you look at a person, as many have looked, perhaps I'm going to use myself as an example. I don't like to talk about other people because you don't want to make it too personal, but I can talk about myself. If you may look at me and you're the opposite sex, I'm just using this as a naturalistic example. I'm not trying to be funny. But the truth is you may look at me from the opposite sex persuasion and say, wow, as I get that response a lot. So now I'm kind of immune to it. But you may look at me and say, wow, she's just all of this, and, oh, I just really want to get to know her. I want to be with you. And the person goes, oh, I love you. You don't even know me. For all you know, I may be a Lizzie Borden undercover. I may have some baggage that you have no knowledge thereof. But just because I look so good to your eye, your mind becomes persuaded upon being with me. And your heart says, I've got to have her now. And then you get me, and lo and behold, said, what in the world have I done? What have I gotten myself into? So the deception is oftentimes the eyes, okay? You cannot look upon things and always say that it's good. Just because it looks good to you doesn't mean it's going to be good for you. That's right. So eyes can be deceptive. Sometimes you hear things. Sometimes you think you hear something. A person may say something in your ears because ears, you know, reflect the very aspects of automatic tone, pitch, and sound. And sometimes when our minds are elsewhere and when we turn to a certain perimeter and we hear something, we may hear the last sentence. And if that last sentence sounded like your name was involved in it, then there you go with that attitude saying that this person is talking about me. And so, therefore, your ears have deceived you. That person never, ever met any degree of reflection upon you. So you can't always trust what your ears hear. Okay, and this is what Apostle Paul is saying. Don't base yourself in this world upon what you see, what you hear, what you smell, sometimes even what you taste, because those things can be deceptive. Because the most effervescent and effective cure for numerous physical maladies don't taste good, are not desirable, but they're good for you. They're like the healing balm of Gilead. So he's saying
Don't get caught up in the madness. Get caught up in the gladness and know that you've got to go beyond your natural senses in this world, because we live by faith, by what God has promised us and not by what man has stated unto us, and not basing our existence upon the very affairs and the anomalies of this world, because our Messiah told us that this world is passing away. You look at the headlines, so much violence, so much inapathy, so much cruelty. I just looked at something about the Boko Haram movement over in Nigeria and the various regions of Africa, killing people by the drones. That's why the multitude of bodies just laying prostrate on the ground, over 2,000 people, and people are complaining, saying that why hasn't the media spoke about this? It's too horrendous. It's horrible. So if you start anchoring yourself in this world, you're going to get petrified. You're going to say, I'm not traveling anywhere. I got to be afraid that if I see a person of African descent, maybe they're part of this terrorist organization, right? And then you're going to get petrified. You're putting your hopes and, you know, expectations upon what's going on in the world. If you look at what ISIS is doing, that's right. Many of us will get petrified. We don't want to go to the Middle East where you disenfranchise from people of the Middle Eastern persuasion. You can't get caught up in the madness. That's right, you can't. And this is what we say. You walk by faith, you will see these things, you will acknowledge that these things are happening, and you'll say, Lord, my God, have mercy. Protect and be a shield around they who love you, they who desire you, Lord. Let this gospel go all around the world so that men's hearts and their minds will be changed. Bind Satan and the works of the adversary and every dark force that is at work. But, Lord, we realize that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds and casting down every imagination that exalts itself above God and holding every thought into the captivity into the knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's what we'll start saying when we walk by faith. We walk by faith, we see enemy forces removed. When we walk by faith, we see prosperity flowing. That's right, perpetually and continually. We see these things, and the reason why we have to have faith, according to the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews, first verse, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the matter of things that you desire to happen and the evidence, the proof of what you cannot validate on the physical level. Faith is not a physical thing. It's a spiritual mechanism that catapults the promises of God and the greatness of his omnipotence, his omniscience, and his omnipresence in your life. And on that note, I'm going to say to you, tune in with us next week. We're going to be coming back, and we're going to be speaking the words of knowledge to inspire you unto greatness and to receive the glorious and victorious presence of God in your life. So as you go on in this week, know this, that God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all you're able to ask and even think. And in all things give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Enjoy your week. Be blessed. You've got your host with the most from coast to coast saying that I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. And you can do all things in Christ that strengthens you. Oh, yeah.